Hello and welcome to Cat the Baker. I'm Chef KB. I had the best day today. First of all, it's my day off. I know I always record on my day off, but I really only have one day off, so I have to make the most of it. And today, I woke up, I could sleep in a little bit, and I knew that I wanted to go to the beach. When I lived in San Diego, I went to the beach a lot because I worked right on the beach at the hotel. It was really only 20 minutes away from where I lived. Very close and easy to get to. Here in LA, it's a little bit different. First of all, I live in the valley, which is over the other side of the Hollywood Hills. And it's about, 15, 20 degrees hotter behind the mountains. And because there's always traffic, it basically takes an hour to get to the beach from where I live. And that's mainly because I have to drive on the 405, which is always packed. But it's a thing. It's not just something I do real fast, you know? And I work downtown for one job, and the other job I work north, close to Sylmar, if you know the area. But it's more toward deserty vibes. So it's a lot drier. So I'm not close to the beach at all. And I miss it. I really miss it. I miss the smell. I miss the sand. And today I thought, I'm going to drive there after rush hour, because it's a Friday, and take my bike. Originally, I got this bike in Aspen. I got it for, I think, $100 through like Facebook or something. And it's a Kona bike. It's a really nice mountain bike. But it was used a lot. That's why it's only $100. I never fixed it up. Like in Aspen, I used it a lot. I didn't really drive that much because I lived in town and I used the bike to get to work, which took like 3 minutes. Super fast. So that was my mode of transportation. And I took it with me to San Diego, but there it's super hilly where I lived. And it was a pain to use because it was up and down. So I didn't really use it there. And then by the time I got to LA, it kind of got rusty because I had it outside. It was covered, but it was outside. So anyway, I went to a bike shop here and I got it fixed up. They changed the gears, the tires. It cost almost $200, but it had never been done before. So the bike is beautiful. It's been made really nice again. So I want to use it. And because I wanted to go to the beach, I thought, yes, I'm going to take my bike and bike the boardwalk. And that's what I did. I finally got to the beach. I parked close to the Santa Monica Pier. And at first, before I took out my bike out of my car, I walked on the sand and I just sat on the beach and watched the waves. And it's a beautiful day. It was not cold. The sand was warm and it had cold spots. And just the sea air, I just missed it so much. And it made me think a lot of spending time in San Diego on the beach. And also, when I lived in LA, you know, I only lived about 20 minutes from the ocean. And now it's a lot different, even though at that time, I didn't go to the beach that much. You know, it was maybe every few months. So anyway, I feel like I need it. I needed it today, especially. My week was kind of rough, and I'll tell you about it. I just needed some fresh air and outside air. So I sat on the sand, and then I decided to go back and get my bike. And I was out for like 3.5 hours. I rode the bike in the direction of Malibu, and what's amazing by the ocean is the boardwalk is so long, and today it was so empty and it was perfect. So I went close to the Malibu area and then turned around and went all the way back through Venice Beach and past Venice Beach. And it was just so perfect. Like I was smiling ear to ear. It couldn't have been a better idea, you know? And then when I passed the pier, I decided to walk up to the pier, you know, and do a little walk. I thought, oh, maybe I'll get a burger and some fries and a milkshake. Like, I was super hungry, right? So when you're hungry, you think the biggest thing that you can get. Even though I thought, no, I'm not going to feel good after eating all that. You know, but it looked like it was pretty good. But just those three items would have been close to $30. And I'm like, you know what? No, I want to go back and get like a curry. There's this really good Indian place close to me. And I thought, you know what? I haven't been there. Why don't I go back and get some curry? So I finish with the bike. I put it back in my car and I drive back. It was a little bit faster driving back, maybe about 40 minutes. But then I was like, I have to get some gas at Costco. So I live in the middle of two Costco gas stations, 15 minutes each way. So I thought, okay, I'm close to the 405. I'll go to Costco and stop for gas. But then I got the gas, you know, which is here, it's a thing because it takes about 10 minutes because you got to stand in line, right, at the gas station. But Costco is cheaper than other gas stations because in California, it's close to like $5 and more at some gas stations. So Costco, it goes up and down, but it's a little lower than most. It's about $4.05, whereas other places, it might be $4.80, $4.90 a gallon. So anyway, I go to Costco, gas, and then I say, oh, I need to renew my membership, you know, so I also need sparkling water. So I go inside and then that becomes a whole other thing. Meanwhile, I'm hungry, which is the worst time to go to Costco. You know what? Any time is the worst time to go to Costco. It's such a weird vibe in there. Like, it's just packed and there's people everywhere and I try to avoid it, but they just have some things that are great in price, you know? So I get some veggies, I get my sparkling water, I get this huge thing of flour. Next thing you know, I've spent over $200. What is going on? It's so easy to do at Costco. Like, but meanwhile, everyone else is at Costco too, because there's all this Christmas stuff now. Anyway, I wanted to leave and everything took longer than I wanted it to. But I only have today because every other day I don't have enough time to do these things, you know. So I did it all and then I'm like, okay, I'm going to go to this curry place, right? But now I have to go home because I bought some items that need to be chilled at Costco. So I get home, I bought too much, I drop off all my stuff at home, and I have an apartment, so it's stairs up and down, right? It's like a lot of energy. So then I'm like, well, I did buy smoked salmon. I did buy spinach. I still have some bell peppers. I should just be healthy and make my own like veggies with the smoked salmon. And I was so hungry, you know, like the curry place is just 3 minutes down the street. But I'm like, my fridge is full. So why don't I make my own stuff? Because I thought maybe I'll go to the movies later as well. See, this is what I do. When it's my day off, I want to do it all. I want to do it all and say I had a great day off and that I enjoyed myself. And as if the bike wasn't enough, you know, I need to keep topping it off. And this is what I do. This is like a Gemini thing, right? It's never enough. I always have FOMO. I make my own food and it tasted so good because I was so hungry. And then I checked the movie theater and I'm like, oh, the movie I wanted to see isn't even available now. It doesn't come out until the 18th. So I'm like, okay, I'm just going to eat and relax. Like, what a concept. What a concept is relax, you know? And I took a shower, I sat down, and then I just felt really tired from what I did today. And I think not so much today, I mean, yes, the fresh air, but just the week, you know, like what I have to do during the week. And it's pretty stressful because Monday through Thursday I teach, Monday through Wednesday I work at the restaurant, you know, the cafe, and then I only have Friday off, no jobs, and then Saturday, Sunday I work at the cafe, like I wake up at 4:30. What happened at the AM job was I got yelled at, like literally yelled at, because there's this dessert. It's a hazelnut cake. It has a hazelnut sponge. It has a hazelnut insert. and you fill it inside this ring and you pour this hazelnut mousse over it. And it's a soft mousse, you know, but you freeze it and then with a torch, you take it off the ring, you know, and then you freeze it again. When we decor it, there's a velvet spray over it, which is 50% cocoa butter and 50% milk chocolate. What I had seen previously was that the velvet spray was a decent coating, right? I thought, oh, it looked pretty. So I did like a decent coating of it. And the French is called flocage, right? It's called flocage, not velvet spray. Anyway, I sprayed more than I should have, I guess. Like, I thought it looked nice. I decorated it and everything. When the people in the cafe put it in the display case, they messed it up. Like, they touched it in a way that had their fingerprints all over it, but they still put it in the case. And we were short-staffed. The par was 12 of these small chocolate hazelnut cakes, but I only put out 5 because we wouldn't have had enough the next day. So I thought, okay, better do a small amount versus 0 the next day, right? We wouldn't have been able to do it because there's other things that are more important. Meanwhile, the boss did not agree. And this is not an executive chef. There is no executive chef. I'm the pastry chef. There's another pastry chef who's been there for however many years. The person that's in charge is like the office manager, right? Like, this is, it's a weird setup, but that's who's in charge. He's from New York, and when he doesn't like something, he's very direct about it, which I don't mind, you know, great. When he doesn't like something, he just like semi-yells, you know, and it kind of just brings the whole mood down. So he was saying there's too much flocage, and he took pictures of what it looked like in the case. I did not have my fingerprints all over it, you know, like that is not for me. But anyway, since I sprayed it, it's my fault. And because I didn't put out 12, I put out 5. Anyway, he was upset. And I'm thinking, geez, like, I get it, right? With the fingerprints all over it, it doesn't look good. But then take that one out. When it just isn't up to his standards, he says something, which I understand, you know, but he's saying, if it doesn't look good, don't put it out at all. I thought it looked good. My point is, it just dampened the whole rest of the day, right? The thing is, at that job, it's always a struggle. It's always a struggle because these items are high end, right? They have a lot of different layers, a lot of different steps. No one dessert is easy, you know? So I just created a Christmas ornament, which is a red velvet sponge with a cranberry mulled wine insert inside a mascarpone vanilla bean mousse. You know, and it's inside a dome shape. And this is probably the easiest dessert. I'm not trying to be extra complicated here because I know how much we struggle, right? All you have to do is freeze it and then put like a red shine glaze over it. A little bit of gold dust and like this Christmas ornament hook, you know, so that's it. And it's cute and it's just for the month of December. We're always short-staffed. Somebody always calls out and it's just always this skeleton crew. You know, and it's like too much. It's too much. My previous job was very well organized. There were more than enough people. And it was scheduled that way because the pastry chef knew that somebody always calls out and you need to have another person, you know, to back that up. And I know hotels are run differently. There's different kind of work. There's catering. There's a lot of different things. Like here, it's a small company. It's really just the pastry case, and there's 2 locations. Every day seems like a struggle, and it's very hard for me to keep my mood up, you know, because I still need the job, right? Like, I teach, but that is up soon, and I don't know if I get another series of classes. Like, you don't know until the semester's over, but then the next semester doesn't start till February. So I don't work the month of January teaching, you know, so I just have this job and I'm like, damn it, like I have to keep at it. Like I have to keep it for now. Yes, I have an agent. And yes, like I've filled out all these different websites that they wanted me to have my resume in. So I did that. I haven't been sent out yet, but it's only been a couple weeks. So I'm like, okay, I'm trying to figure it out, you know? Like, yes, this AM job is good because I got a job pretty quickly when I moved here. But it's when I started, I knew, okay, this is not my long time job. Like, because it was crazy right when I staged. It was crazy from the get-go, even though they have beautiful pastries, you know? But it's just, I could see how unorganized it is. I could see that right when I staged. So I know it's temporary, you know, but being yelled at doesn't help the situation. So all I can do is do the best in the time that I've been given, because the day is only 7 hours, right? They don't want to pay anybody overtime. You can only do what you can do in that time. And the other chef sometimes clocks out after his time and he still continues working. First of all, that's illegal. And second of all, it's like you're giving them a false illusion, you know, that you can do this work. They don't know that you're clocked out. Like, why am I working for free? Like, that's not what I'm doing. So anyway, the other chef does this and I'm not going to do that. And the other chef tells the other employees when they're past their 7 hours, they need to clock out. But I tell them, no, if you're still working, don't clock out. It's illegal. You know, so already we have two opposing sides on that. So anyway, like that job is just, we can never get on track. The more we try for Thanksgiving, the usual pars might be 12 of each dessert on a normal week. But for Thanksgiving, on Thanksgiving Day, it was like 46 of each dessert. You know, like crazy amounts that we don't even have, that we can't make because it's the same people. He didn't hire more people for the holiday season. So everyone had to be there at 3 a.m., I had to take an Uber because the metro doesn't start till 4:30. You know, and that was my excuse. I said, I can't be there at 3 a.m. The metro doesn't start till 4:30. And it's like, oh, that's okay. We'll Uber you. We'll pay you back. And I'm like, damn it. Okay. So yeah, I woke up at like 2 a.m., got an Uber at 2:30 to be there at 3 a.m. On Thanksgiving Day, I started work at 3 a.m. and we had this crazy amount of pies. Right, I'm doing pies for like 3 days, 2 days before Thanksgiving and on Thanksgiving. I'm just decorating pies. Like, that's all I'm doing. Last minute, there was a whole case of apple pies that somebody didn't see. They were behind another cabinet in the freezer or something. 20 minutes overtime already. Someone pulls out this cabinet and it had like 100 apple pies in there. So last minute, the whole team, like we're all ready to leave, but the whole team quickly decorates them and gets it ready in like 20 minutes. It was like the most amazing teamwork ever because everybody wanted to go home so badly. So I took the train on Thanksgiving back home at 12:30. I was dead. I was so dead because the previous day I also had to be there at 3 a.m. and I had to teach that night. You know, they did their midterms at the school. It was nice because they got to leave early, so I went to bed early. But still, it was just like, what am I doing? Like, I'm like closer to 50. I've lived more of my life than I have left, right? Probably. And I'm just like working this crazy amount. And sometimes I realize it and it like just depresses me. At the same time, I'm happy I'm able to make this money, right? I'm happy I got this work. But kitchen work does not get easier, that's for sure. It does not get easier. And sometimes it just puts me in this just dark state of mind, you know? And I guess it's been with every job because at the end of the day, it's the same thing, right? Like everything has time constraints. Everything has to look perfect. And it just is a lot sometimes. After work on Thanksgiving, you know, after making like 900 pies, like this crazy amount, I was invited to a Thanksgiving dinner of a friend of mine and her friend. And the nice thing was the dinner was amazing. I was so hungry. They made me an olive martini, and I don't really drink, right? But I think I needed it. I only drank like half of it, and I was so done. Anyway, it was a delicious meal, and I finally got home, and I slept that night, and I was off the next 2 days, which was perfect. But anyway, that's a week later now, and this is another week. So teaching-wise, I only have 2 more weeks left, and then the semester is over. And then it's just a few days till Christmas after that point, you know, which on Christmas Eve, I also have to be at work at 3 a.m. And I was thinking, is there any way I can just quit before Christmas? Like, I wish. But I don't have anything else, you know, so I still need it at this point. A couple things happened. So first of all, I decided I want a divorce. Right? Like, it's time. My ex left me at the end of May, and it's just been a rough year for me, you know, between trying to get things sorted out in LA and moving and him leaving in the summer. It's just been a lot. What's the point of still being married if we just live apart? You know, like, at first it was, oh, he had to switch the name on the van that was in my name for his business. So we're waiting because he couldn't switch it sooner. And in the next week, he's able to switch it. So I thought, okay, this is the time for a divorce. You know, so I got all the divorce paperwork. I filled out some of the forms. I copied them and I sent them to him. And I let him know if it's over, I want it to be over on paper. There was a weird reaction, as if he doesn't want a divorce or he doesn't want to deal with it. I don't know. But for me, it represents closure. It represents moving on. It's unfair to me because I want something that means something. You know, I don't want to be with somebody who doesn't want me in their life, you know, who doesn't want to be with me. So for me, I need this closure. And hopefully meet somebody down the road that actually wants me in their life. Most importantly, do it for myself. But then at the same time, I saw that an ex of mine, 6 years ago, before I moved to Switzerland, I was with somebody for close to 2 years, and he ended it, like, right before Thanksgiving. You know, at the time, like, he lived in Phoenix, I lived in Flagstaff, we were talking every day. Like, I would call him when he was at work, like lunchtime. And anyway, one day he said he can't talk as long. Like, it looks bad for him to keep talking when he's supposed to be working. And it was his lunchtime. You know, he didn't really want to talk to me. And it turns out he wanted to end it. You know, I kind of had said, right, I knew I was moving to Switzerland. And I said, after Switzerland, let's move to LA. Let's move in together, because we were long distance. So the thought of that scared him. He wanted to move to LA, as it turns out, but he did not want to move to LA with me. Anyway, he broke up with me. I moved to Switzerland. COVID happened. Like, this whole chain of events happened that nobody could have known. Turns out, he was looking at a couple of my stories on Instagram. And sometimes I look to see who's looking at my stories. It's not like a typical thing. But I saw that he looked at my stories. And I told somebody at work, you know, that an ex looked at my stories. And she's like, oh, wink at him. Like, do a little emoji wink. And I'm like, okay, like, I don't know about that. But a few days later, I did. Because I saw him look at my story again. Anyway, he messaged me, and I happened to be off, and I said, do you want to go out for ramen? Because it turns out he lives down the street from me, like 5 minutes down the street. Isn't that the craziest thing? Like, it was so random. I did not expect that. And he's been living in LA for like 3 years now, right? At first, he never wanted to move here. He moved here because he got a job in the industry. Like, he worked on a couple of big projects. And that's good. I'm happy for him, you know, but I did not expect that. I did not expect him to live like down the street from me. So anyway, we went out for ramen. And at first it was like, wow, is this weird? Like, is this negative? Like, should I be doing this? But then I see him and we talk and it didn't really matter. Like, time didn't really matter anymore as far as, yes, it's been 6 years, but I know this person, you know, and he knew my mom, like he met her a few times. He knew my dog and just my whole situation back when I was living with my mom before I moved for Switzerland. And it was such a like emotional time for me, you know, because I wanted to move out and not live with my mom. But at the same time, she put this guilt on me that I couldn't move. Anyway, it was this whole thing. And I was with him at that time, you know, so he knew everything. And now I see him and we talk and catch up. And it was kind of comforting in a way. You know, I didn't have to explain my past. I didn't have to explain all of these things, right, that you do when you go out with somebody. You, like, start talking about yourself, right? But we literally just picked up where we left off and we're just talking and, you know, about the last 6 years. And it was nice. It was comforting. Like, I don't think I would go back as far as relationship-wise. You know, I feel like that kind of ended. But it was so unexpected and nice. Like, it was like a friendship thing. You know, I appreciated him being there. And I feel like he appreciated me being there. And, yeah, it just felt positive. You know, so now he has a dog. And we walked the dog at a dog park. I wasn't trying to be something. He wasn't trying to be something. Like, we were just ourselves, you know, and it was kind of just very freeing in a sense, especially with what I'd been through this year. There's still some contact with my ex, and it's very mixed feelings for me because I do still love him, but he's moved on. He doesn't feel the same, you know, and I don't think that I should be with him, you know, but it's still, I'm not thinking of other people. I'm not thinking of other men because I still care about him. It's very, like, mixed emotionally, which is why filing the divorce means a lot. And it's a big deal, you know, because I feel like I just need closure. I need to move forward. And that's that, you know, and I'm trying. But it's like, it doesn't matter if you move. Geographically, it's your emotions. They're inside of you, right? You have to deal with it. You have to make peace with it and figure it out. I've been thinking about, in January, I'm not teaching for a month. I'll be working at the cafe. But I really was thinking maybe I should just take a week and a half off, you know, and just travel somewhere. Like, that to me is always such a great option. You know, just to, like, see something different. Get out of my own head. See a different culture. See some beauty. You know, instead of just having the same old stuff. Like, dealing with work and just all the same stuff, right? I just need to switch it up and travel. So we'll see, but that's just an idea. Like, I really want to go to Thailand. I wouldn't mind going to Portugal. I wouldn't mind going to Morocco. So, yeah, that's a thought. So that's why today was so nice, just to be outside, be on my bike, and just enjoy the view, right? The weather was perfect. The sea smelled great. The sound of the waves rushing by. Being outside just always rejuvenates me. It always gives me perspective and takes me out of my own head. I get wrapped up with all these thoughts constantly swirling around. And it's tiring. Like, I just need a break from myself, you know? But how do you do that when your head is constantly working overtime? And I don't want to say, like, it's all bad. Like, it's not all bad. Like, the pastries I make at the cafe are beautiful. My Christmas ornament dessert looks beautiful, and it tastes pretty good, too. I think it's just I'm overworked, and that's kind of bringing me down. But if I look at the teaching job itself, I enjoy it. You know, yes, I'm teaching culinary right now. I'm not teaching baking because this was a class that was left. But this past week, I showed them how to fillet a fish. First time I've ever done it. I watched all these YouTube videos because I had to look as if I know what I'm doing, right? Number one, I didn't have a fillet knife. I had a boning knife, which is second best. Fillet knife is best, you know, but they didn't have any in school. Meanwhile, there's students who use their chef knives to fillet, which is not great, right? The fillet knife is flexible. The boning knife is not as flexible, but it has a very pointy tip, so you can get the meat off of the bone really well. I filleted a tilapia, and then I walked by and checked how they're filleting it, you know, and checking the meat like I'm some sort of a fillet pro, like I'm not. But I felt like, oh, it's not that hard. Like, I can totally do it, you know? So I'm learning at the same time that these students are learning. And then I had them use their fillets and make their own dish. So for 2 days, I said, I want you to make two dishes very different from each other. For example, one student made like this fried rice with this sauteed tilapia and some veggies, you know, but a lot of the students did very simple plating. Like they covered the whole plate, right? Like the fish is on one side, across from that is the rice, across from that is the veg, and none of it has any significance with each other, you know? So I'm trying to show them how you need something, a theme, right? That brings everything together. Like a vegetable is not just a vegetable. Everyone views veggies as just this side dish that nobody cares about, you know, but there's some amazing vegetable dishes that taste even better than the main protein sometimes, you know? And I was teaching them about plating. Like, yes, I'm a pastry chef, and yes, I know about plating desserts, and it's different than plating a main meal, like an entree. But there's still an art to it. There's still a main focal point on the plate. You know, so I'm saying focus it to the center of the plate or one side of the plate and keep the rest blank. It's going to stand out a lot more. Give it some height, right? Like that's what you're supposed to do with desserts. You have a main item, for example, a cheesecake, and then you want to give it some height. So you might add like caramel or a tuile, right? And then you want a sauce because a sauce is going to complement the dessert. Maybe it's a flavor in the dessert, so it just adds to it. And then you might have like little gelée pieces, right? Maybe a different flavor that also is in the cheesecake, for example. You know, so I was talking about like at least six components. You want about 5 to 6 components for a dessert. For an entree, it's a little bit different, but you still want like that sauce that marries everything. You still want it to be plated in an artful way. You know, so I'm trying to bring that across. And the first day, they had some really good ideas, but the plating was so-so. You know, so I'm giving them these ideas. And then the second day, like completely blew me out of the water. Just really beautiful plating, you know, and some students really stepped it up. And I love that. Like, I love that I can share something, right? Like, none of this time that I've done has been wasted. Like, I still learn, and I have learned a lot. And it's so nice that these students accept that and use it for themselves and create something beautiful with this dish. You know, it's only tilapia. Like, tilapia is not the most beautiful fish, you know, but what they did with it was really cool. And I love that they're trying new things. Because I said, when you're in school, you should try new things, because once you get a job, you have to do it the way they want it. You know, you're not going to necessarily get to create things or try things, right? So I love that they're using that information and that knowledge and doing something with it, you know, to improve their cooking. So I really feel like this week has been positive in that regard. And of course, I got to taste everything, which is good and bad, right? There's 16 students, so It's basically my dinner, but it's just a spoon of each thing, you know, and everything's like super different. But that has been positive, and I enjoy the teaching a lot more than the cafe. I just wish I could live off of it, but I can't. Like, it's still not enough, so I still need another job. So anyway, we'll see. Like, I'm happy that I have both jobs. I'm happy that at least I'm working, right? I'm not getting into debt. And maybe it's good for me for now to at least be active physically at these jobs, because mentally, my mind is still swirling with all these emotions of this past year. So yeah, I mean, as it's getting toward the end of the year, I'm ready. I'm ready for the year to be over. I'm ready for closure, and I'm ready for just what is next, right? Like, that's always my thing. I'm always like on to the next thing. And I just want some stability. I think that's what I want for the new year. I'm not saying I have to just have one job. I just have to do this one thing. No, because I don't think I'm that person. I can never just do one thing, right? That is so not me. But I just want to feel stable in what I'm doing and just trust myself, you know, that I am moving forward and not backwards. And yes, even though this industry is tiring, I can still do the job. You know, and at this point, I still need it. And when I'm not overworked, I enjoy it, you know? I think the biggest thing is I just don't enjoy being yelled at. I am excited for 2026. I really just want some acting jobs. I think that would be amazing. I did apply for this voiceover job today, like a dramatic voiceover role. We'll see. Anyway, it's just, you know, who knows? That's all you can keep on doing, right? Is just keep putting yourself out there. Keep doing the things you enjoy, because in the end, that's all you have. Like, that's all you have is just try new things. So, thank you for listening. I'm Chef KB. Until next time.